Welcome, everyone. It's so good to be with you and speaking to you about things that are significant and helpful. Not helpful in the way of making more money, getting another pair of shoes, but helpful in your becoming more fulfilled, more joyful, contributing more meaningfully, and giving the gifts that you were born to give.
Hello, everyone. This is Linda Francis, and what we're speaking about today is making your interactions count. So I'm really excited to be with you this morning and talking about this. We wanted to start. What I'd like to do is start with, the authentic power guidelines that we talk about quite often. We're going to, it's an overview, an at-a-glance of creating authentic power. So how you create authentic power at a glance, that's really what the guidelines are for, so you can look at them. They don't take the place of reading the seat of the soul, but they tell you how to practice what's in the seat of the soul. So they're your quick start instructions for creating authentic power. Sometimes they're your restart instructions for creating authentic power. So we're going to be talking about that today, and we're going to be talking about one particular section or group, grouping of guidelines, the conscious communication and action guideline area today. So beloved, I'd love to hear a little more about that, because we've talked about that quite a bit, about how we could be of support.
That's right. The Authentic Power Guidelines are one of the best tools that you have to support you. As Linda mentioned, they're an overview of creating authentic power. They don't replace the seat of the soul, but they do help you to practice what's in it. And they're a quick start reminder. And they're a re-reminder if you're in a frightened part of your personality and you've forgotten altogether about creating authentic power. Look at the spiritual partner. By the way, that's a good point. I call them spiritual partnership guidelines because they are the same. In the book, Spiritual Partnership, these guidelines are called the Spiritual Partnership Guidelines. The Spiritual Partnership Guidelines and the Authentic Power Guidelines are identical. They help you create authentic power. They help you create spiritual partnerships. Now, the Authentic Power Guidelines will help you understand and create commitment and courage. Well, not creating courage, but learning how to use it in a new way. And they also address compassion. Now, there's another section, the last section, which, as Linda said, is called the Conscious Communication and Actions Guidelines. These guidelines put it all together. They walk you through creating authentic power when you are in an interaction or you are about to say or do something. So if you follow these steps, you're going to be creating authentic power. How can I put it? Authentic power and creating it is not complex. It's actually pretty simple. It's learning to recognize love in yourself and choosing it no matter what. Well, the no matter what means even if you're in an interaction. What's that mean? It means even if you're interacting with someone who's in a frightened part of his or her personality. Now what are you going to do? The Conscious Communication and Actions Guidelines will help you just now, just then. They'll remind you of what to do first. What to do first is ask for guidance. This means consult your intuition. That's how you ask for guidance. And this is easier than you might imagine. Just ask yourself, what's my intention? Before you speak or before you act, why am I doing this? And then listen. It won't be long before you get an answer. Usually it's immediately. If you're pursuing external power, if you're in fear, you'll know it. And if your intention is one of love, you'll know that too. Yes.
So can I give an example? It's not just if someone else is in a frightened part. It's particularly if you are. So if you notice that you're impatient with someone in some circumstance, whether it's your partner or you're at work, if you notice you're impatient, stop right there and ask, what is my intention? Why am I doing this? What is going on right here? So you can ask, so you can get supported.
Here's another way you can consult your intuition. You can ask yourself, what's the best way to handle this? Whatever it is, you're talking to an in-law, talking to a neighbor, talking to a boss, talking to a child, a classmate, talking to a clerk in a store that's rude or that's in a frightened part of his or her personality.
Yes.
You say, what's the best way to handle this? Then listen for the answer. And you might be surprised when it comes. So that's the first step. That's the first conscious communications and action guidelines. The purpose of the conscious communication and action guidelines are to help you make all of your interactions conscious and loving. That's the goal.
All of your interactions and your actions.
And your actions.
So it's not just your interactions with others. It's also the actions that you take in every moment, whatever that is. If you choose to turn away from someone, or if you choose to act impatiently to someone, or if, that would be an interaction. But if you choose to stew in judgment, that's an action. If you
that's not actually an action. That's a choice. An action is when you do something in which your energy affects the energy sphere of another individual.
Mm-hmm.
So you can stew in resentment or jealousy or fear or vengefulness. And when you do, then you're in the dynamic of temptation.
Mm-hmm.
You are getting a preview of what a frightened part of your personality intends to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can review what that part of your personality is intending to do and decide then not to do it, rather than act it out.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, as you know, pardon me, beloved.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You can look at temptation as a dress rehearsal for a negative karmic event. And you can decide to change that event before the curtain goes up, before the audience sees it, before you create karma. So the conscious communication and actions guidelines help you by saying, number one, ask for guidance. When it involves communications, then it's an interaction. When it doesn't involve, when you're not in an interaction yet, then it is just what you decide to do while you're alone. But whether it's an interaction or an action, the goal of your experiences, all of them in the Earth School, is to support you in your spiritual growth, and that means create authentic power.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step is ask for guidance.
So it also could be someone who is, they're not interacting with anyone, but they're rushing around, very busy, and not talking to anyone. And they're usually doing this. This is a part of their personality that just rushes around and really ignores everyone else.
Oh, do you know anyone like that? That's always, it can go either way. They can be rushing around because they have a phobia about being late, and they have to leave immediately after an engagement because they have a phobia about staying. And then the other side of that is there are people that are just never on time. They try to be on time, and if something comes up, they get distracted. And the result is, month after month, year after year, they're never on time. And they never know when exactly to leave. Sometimes they're the last people to close the place down. Everyone else is yawning and saying, hasn't it been nice? These are frightened parts of the personality. So when you detect them in yourself, or you sense that a part of your personality that's frightened may be active, or you're not sure but you're just about to speak or to act or to interact, then ask for guidance. Start there. The second communication...
Before we go on to that, beloved, I think it's so important that what we're saying is that every interaction and every action, you're just constantly in touch with your intuition, looking at, because there's so many times for me, I know for me, there's so many times when I am not aware of what I'm doing or how I'm acting with someone because it's so familiar to me that I don't even notice that I'm doing that. So what we're talking about is being aware all the time of every action and every interaction that you have. What is, you know, ask for guidance to see what, why are you doing this?
That's right.
What is the purpose of this? Why am I doing this?
We're learners, beloved. Don't forget that. We're learners. So it is good to be in touch with your intuition all the time. In fact, it's beautiful. It's magnificent. But the conscious communication and action guidelines are there to remind you in case you forget.
Exactly.
And when you look at them, which we're suggesting you doing, the first thing you're going to see is ask for guidance. Or as the guidelines put it, consult your intuition. Keep doing that, keep developing it, but if you forget, if you're not sure what to do next in an interaction, look at the Conscious Communication and Actions Guidelines. Start with guideline number one, consult your intuition.
So an example would be when we would get into power struggles early on in our relationship, I remember so clearly knowing that I needed to stop right then because it's my responsibility to stop that power struggle in me, not to blame you, try to be right about it and all of that. So I remember having to stop and ask for help because I really needed that support at that moment.
Yes, you did at that moment. Everyone does at that moment. And these guidelines will help remind you to ask for guidance.
Exactly.
That's the purpose of the Conscious Communication and Action Guidelines, to remind you, to take you through an interaction step by step by step. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about the first one. Consult your intuition. Ask for guidance.
Yes.
Well, what's the second step? Choose why you're going to say what you're going to say or do what you're going to do. This means choose an intention. Know your intention for acting or speaking before you commit energy to words or deeds. Why are you interacting? Like Linda realized that in the example that she gave that she was in a power struggle. What does that mean? Is your intention to win? Is your intention to impose yourself? Is your intention to be right? Is it to dominate? These are intentions of fear. Is your intention to support someone in creating authentic power without attachment to the outcome? Without second agenda, that means without being a teacher, without feeling superior because you know something the other person doesn't, without trying to control the other person's behavior so that you'll feel better yourself. Well, acting on an intention of fear is not a good idea. It creates painful consequences for you. It generates negative karma or destructive and painful karma. That's a better way to put it. Acting on a loving intention is always a good idea. It creates blissful consequences. It creates healthy and joyful karma. So know why you're speaking or acting. Know what your intention is. That's what you need to do when you create authentic power, no matter what you're doing. Know what your intention is, because if you don't, you're still going to accomplish what you intend, but it's going to be what an unconscious part of your personality intends.
Yes, because if you don't know what your intention is, then you're probably acting in fear if you're not aware of what your intention is.
You are acting in fear. Mm-hmm. An unconscious intention is an intention from fear. Loving intentions are conscious. You choose them.
But I want to say to be gentle with yourself, you know, for everyone to be gentle with yourself, because yes, you are acting on a frightened part of the personality or interacting with that if you're not aware of your intention. So what we're saying is to remember to become aware all the time of and ask for guidance and check your intention so you can come from a loving part of your personality. And it takes practice. As Gary said, that these as we're talking about, these guidelines help you to put it all into practice, what you've read in the Seat of the Soul, what you know about authentic power, to actually put it into practice, to actually do
yes.
it.
When you're creating authentic power, if you've done it for a while, I haven't done it long enough yet, but if you've done it for a while, then you remember all the time, in every way, to be aware of your emotions, choose your intentions, and act from love. But if you're like me and you need some reminders now and then you have your spiritual partners to remind you. If you're in a frightened part of your personality, or to be more precise, if they think that you might be. But if you don't have spiritual partners around you, use these conscious communication and action guidelines.
I'd say everything, use them anywhere, right, beloved?
Yes.
I'm not saying not to use
yes.
them.
Yes, use them all the time.
Yeah, right.
That's what they're for.
Right.
But in case you need help in using them and remembering to use them, consult them. That's what we're saying. Or that's what I'm saying.
And your spiritual partners may be also be able to help you, but they're not responsible for you whether you choose to create with love or fear.
That's correct. So in other words, all of the authentic power guidelines are necessary to create authentic power because they walk you through the things that are important. Commitment, emotional awareness, courage, responsible choice, compassion, acting from your heart, acting from loving parts of your personality. And they spell out what that means. Then we come to the last section, and that's the one we're talking about now. This is for acting. This is for communicating consciously, acting consciously.
Yeah.
So yes, use them all the time. But also remember that they're your quick start guide.
Mm-hmm.
All of the guidelines are, but these in particular are your quick start if you're in an interaction and you're not sure where to go, which means you're probably in a frightened part of your personality. Then they'll remind you. Remember, ask for guidance. That's
mm-hmm.
number one. Choose your intention.
Right.
That's number two. Well, what's number three? Number three is speak or act from a loving part of your personality.
Yes.
So if you're in a frightened part of your personality and you say, I'm going to be loving, damn it. I'm even going to be loving to you, even though here's how you've been behaving and I don't like it. Well, that isn't going to help. First of all, you're not really following your intention to act from a loving part of your personality. So once you have that intention, give it to a loving part of your personality to carry out. Let the loving part of your personality manifest your intention, your loving intention. Even while you're aware of painful experiences of a frightened part of your personality.
Absolutely.
No, the loving parts of your personality are grateful. They're appreciative. They're caring. They're patient. They're content. So when you interact from one of those. Wouldn't you rather interact with a loving part of someone else's personality than a part of someone else's personality that's impatient, judging you, angry, fearful? Well, I would.
So when we say number three is speak or act from a loving part of the personality, the reason we're saying that is even though you've checked your intuition, I mean, you've checked with your guidance and intuition, and you've set your intention, you could still have a frightened part come up and speak for you. So it's really important to be aware of what part of you is speaking or acting. Even though you've done the two steps before that, you need to stay aware and carry it out through a loving part of your personality, whatever it is you want to say or whatever it is you want to do.
Precisely. You might say that step three is the actual moment of creating authentic power.
Mm.
That's when it happens.
Mm.
You need to consult your guidance if you're not sure what you're doing, and if you're open to better ways to handle the situation. You need to choose an intention consciously, because if you don't choose it consciously, an unconscious intention will create your experiences and your karma for you. So once you have consulted your intuition, once you've chosen an intention, now what? Now, step out of the frightened part of your personality. How do you do that? How do you challenge it? by acting from a loving part of your personality instead. That's why this step is so important. Many people study authentic power for a while, a long while sometimes, and they know about intuition, although sometimes they forget to ask. But especially they know about emotional awareness, so they know when they're hurting, they know that they're in a frightened part of their personality, then they speak with someone else. But to really challenge a frightened part of your personality means that you're going to step out of that energy and into a loving energy. You might not be able to do it immediately, but here's how you do it. You choose to speak or act from a loving part of your personality and let it come to the foreground of your awareness, instead of letting the frightened part of your personality that you're in remain in the foreground of your awareness. This is a powerful step. This is a step into power. Now,
I was going to say, it could even be, beloved, when you're speaking from a loving part of your, I mean, when you think that you want to speak from a loving part of your personality, that you can feel that energy. So you may even need to say something like, I feel such a strong frightened part in my solar plexus and my heart, but I'm going to do my best to speak as clearly and lovingly as I can. You could say something like that.
You could.
Whether to begin it.
Whether or not it is helpful or beneficial depends upon your intention.
Right.
You can say, I'm feeling distant from you and I don't want to feel that, so this is what I'm going to do. Because you feel like you want to teach someone else something they don't know, or because you really feel with your heart that this is a communication that could be helpful.
It always goes back to the intention.
It always goes back to the intention.
Yeah.
So what's the next step then? The next step, as Linda's talking about now, is to speak clearly and personally. It could mean saying something exactly like what Linda said, or something like, a frightened part of my personality feels inadequate to be with you. Well, that's just a statement. It can't really be argued with, especially if your intention is to share it because you want to come closer. But you could, if you were speaking from a frightened part of your personality, say something like, my therapist says that my distorted childhood development has deformed my ego. Well, what's that? How is that going to help you create love or someone else come closer to you? So the fourth step is to speak clearly and personally. Don't intellectualize, don't theorize, don't say what someone else would have said, don't say what your mama used to tell you. Speak personally. What are you telling this other person? What are you communicating and how are you communicating it? And speak in personal terms, not general time terms, like we all get angry sometimes, and when we do, we lash out. Be personal. You know how to use an I statement. I get angry sometimes, and when I do, a frightened part of my personality lashes out. That's a personal statement, and it's a clear statement. So when you're speaking from a loving part of your personality, speak clearly and personally. In personal terms.
I was just thinking, over the years, beloved, we've had so many people come to our workshop, so many participants. And when we ask them, or another participant asks someone to make an I statement rather than a we statement, what I notice is that almost so often, maybe most of the time, when someone begins to make an I statement, they you can feel them. You can begin to feel them. And sometimes it creates them feeling themselves. And it's so beautiful, because sometimes there are tears. It's just really quite amazing what happens when someone actually speaks for themselves and they say, this is what I have to say about this. And it's not easy for me to say it, so I cover it up by saying we, and I try to include everyone else when I really mean me. And then from there you can begin to discover things about yourself when you begin to say things clearly and speak in I statements about yourself. It's so powerful, and it really supports everyone when you do that, everyone in the interaction.
So you can see these are very powerful guidelines. Don't think that they're just words on paper or something to remember or to memorize. You don't need to do either. You can continue to create, behave, speak, and act as you are. If you're content with that, continue. Usually you're not content with that, but you're familiar with it, and it's compulsive or addictive.
Well, if you're on this call, I think that you're not content with that, or you wouldn't be on this call. You wouldn't be listening to us because you know that you want to create a more meaningful life, and you want to be practice creating authentic power all the time so that you're creating with love rather than fear. That's why you're here. So we're really grateful to be talking to you.
So don't consider these guidelines as something intellectual or pedantic or didactic. They are anchors into a reality that is meaningful, fulfilling, filled with joy, and allows you to give the gifts that you were born to give. That's how powerful they are. We've spent this entire talk with you so far just on 4 of the Conscious Communication and Action Guidelines. All of the guidelines in the Authentic Power Guidelines are that powerful, that strong, that helpful, and that transformative if you use them. Now, there's one more Conscious Communications and Actions guideline. And that is, what do you think that would be? It is let go of the outcome. Let go of attachment to the outcome. This means trusting the universe. Mm. You don't need to be right or to be worry about being wrong. You don't need to defend yourself, to defend someone else, or to be taught. You need only follow the Conscious Communication and Guidelines through the sequence up to this one in order to create authentic power. Speak clearly and personally. By the way, I just remembered another way to look at that. Don't let a frightened part of your personality hijack your awareness and use your sharing to vent its dissatisfaction, its anger, its jealousy, and its fear. Keep your eye on the ball. Let yourself speak from your heart. That is why you choose to speak from a loving part of your personality and then choose to speak personally and clearly. And after all of that, after asking for guidance, after choosing an intention, after choosing a loving part of your personality, feeling it to speak from, after keeping your awareness and speaking clearly and personally, after all of that, let go of the attachment to the outcome. Here's the thing. If after all of that, you notice that you're attached to the outcome, congratulations, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to be aware of it. Because what you've just become aware of is that an unconscious intention has been working in you throughout this process. You thought that you wanted to create authentic power. You thought that was your intention. You thought your intention was to speak from a loving part of your personality. But behind that choice was an intention to change someone else. And after all of that, you realized, oh my gosh, I've been pursuing external power. I've been pursuing external power, even while I thought I was creating authentic power. Well, this is your checkpoint. This is your fail-safe mechanism, you might say, that the universe provides you. Look to see if you're attached to an outcome, because if you're attached, then start over again. Go back to guideline number 1. Ask for guidance. Consult your intuition. How did this happen? What's the best way to handle this? In a better way, a more conscious way. Choose an intention. Speak from a loving part of your personality, clearly and personally. And then let go of the attachment. Now, if you find you have no attachment, if you don't need somebody to admire you for this brilliant display of conscious communications and actions, if you don't need someone to change so that you'll feel better about yourself and safe, if you don't need someone to like you, if you shared because your heart is open, because it was appropriate in the moment and you had no second agendas, then you are standing in a moment of authentic power. Make a note of that. It'll feel good. It'll feel comfortable. It'll feel appropriate. And no matter how stressed another person might be, or the situation might be, or urgent it might seem, you will be in a position to respond effectively and quickly, appropriately. Well, all of that can come from just the last guidelines in the Authentic Power Guidelines.
Indeed, indeed. So I'm thinking...
And by the way, this last one, pardon me, beloved,
go ahead,
is so very important, because if you have attachment, you are not creating authentic power.
Right.
If you have attachment, you are in pain. If you have attachment, you are not fulfilled. If you have attachment, a frightened part of your personality is active. And doing your speaking, doing your acting, doing your thinking, doing everything but receiving your karma, you will experience that.
I think it might be important to say that a lot of times people don't know that they're attached to the outcome. It's so familiar, a frightened part that says, fine, I'll, you know, if that person doesn't want to listen to what I say, then too bad. You know, so they're in a part that, you know,
if you
that,
think a thought like that, you're very much attached to an outcome.
But what I'm saying is, I think that a lot of times people are not not aware, because it is a familiar, frightened part that would say something like that. So be aware of that when that happens, that you may need to look again. What's my intention? What was my intention? Because I'm having judgmental thoughts about someone.
In other words,
I'm pushing them away.
Here's another way that you can't fail to recognize. If you have a reaction after you've gone through all of this to what the other person does, you were attached to an outcome. You are attached to an outcome. If you go through all of this and your friend yawns and says, well, that's all very interesting, can we talk about this later? And you feel angry or resentful, you had an attachment. If you go through all of this process and your friend says, you know, I don't believe any of that. I don't care about any of it. And you have an attachment. You were in a frightened part of your personality.
Meaning when we say attachment, we're just saying that you don't like what's happening. You don't like what the other person says. You're not happy about it. But you may think that that's, of course, you're not happy about that because look at the way they're acting. But you're having an attachment because you are involved in it still. You're thinking thoughts of distance from that person or judgment or blaming. So you need to, that when that happens, you'll begin to know when you're actually attached to something and when you're not. But at the beginning, it's good to really look at that for yourself every time, that your interactions are really clean. Because if they aren't, you will want things to be different than they are after you've said or did what you do.
And your emotional awareness will tell you exactly when you are having a reaction.
Mm-hmm,
you do, take that back to what we've been talking about.
Indeed.
Equate that reaction with the realization that you have an attachment and start over. You haven't failed, you've just learned. Now go to the first communication and action guidelines and start again.